Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
I used to get up on Sunday morning. Now this is terrible. And I used to get ready for church on Sunday morning. And while I was getting ready for church on Sunday morning, I'd turn on the news. I found out that wasn't the best way to get ready for Sunday morning church. Because I'd come into church and no matter what news channel you watch, now you can't even say, I watch this and feel good about yourself. So it's probably just better not to watch anymore. But I'd come in and I will have watched the news and I'd be so either bothered or upset that I couldn't put my focus on the Word of God. And I just struggled. And I found out that wasn't the best way to start a Sunday morning. So now I started differently. But when you look at the whole world scene today, or even the religious scene, you cannot help but look at it and say, we need something. If we had one solution to every one of the world's problems and to every one of the church's problems, what would that solution be? Now, men, there are places that I really would care less to go into. Places like Panera Bread. Oh, you men like Panera Bread? I feel like I've got to do that while I'm eating. I walk into Panera Bread and men, I do take my wife to Panera Bread because I love my wife. But I let her know that I check my man card at the door before I walk in. I'd rather go to a place like Bass Pro, Cabela's, Five Guys, you know, grease dripping down your elbows, you know, someplace like that. Another place that I really rather not go into, but I have three ladies that love this place I go into. It's called Hobby Lobby. You know, gentlemen, I mean, there's a hobby aisle for gentlemen, but it's pathetic. Nothing goes boom. I'm sorry, I can't be more specific. I think we're live streaming. So I go into Hobby Lobby. But last year, my wife and I, we were trying to figure out a way that we could do something really special for our girls for Christmas. And when you live in 40 feet by 8 feet of a fifth wheel full time, you just struggle trying to find something that's big and great. So we came up with this idea. We would build them a house and a castle out of cloth. Now, it worked really well. My girls have bunk beds, and under one of the bunk beds is completely open. So we thought we would build one side that was a house, all sewn together. The other side, it was a castle, and there'd be a door in the middle, and we'd snap it to the bunk, and then you could just unsnap it and fold it up like a sheet and put it away. We thought it worked great, and it did turn out okay. The problem was that my wife was tied up with doing homeschooling, and so I was the one that had to go to Hobby Lobby and shop for the fabric. And I don't know what the deal is with Hobby Lobbies. Every Hobby Lobby I've ever been in, my phone doesn't work in Hobby Lobby. It's like they've built it out of metal or something, and so when I need to text my wife, I can't. Gentlemen, don't ever try to buy fabric by yourself. It usually is not successful. And so I'm trying to buy fabric that I think is going to look okay building a house and building a castle, and my phone's not working and I can't ask my wife and I just have to go with it. Thankfully, I got home and she was very happy with it, you know, brownie points. But while I'm standing there at the fabric counter getting all this fabric cut out, I look down to the left-hand side of the fabric counter and there's this basket. Maybe you've seen it, ladies. It has this little sign and it has somebody's granny pictured on it. And it says something like this. Granny's guaranteed spot remover. Guaranteed to take out any stain known to man. 100% guaranteed. And then it lists all its guarantees. You know, ketchup, mustard, blood, and I thought, whatever. I mean, when was the last time you picked up one of those solutions and it actually worked on what you needed it to work on? I mean, I have two little girls And if it's not ketchup or mustard, it's ice cream. And if it's not ice cream, it's thinking putty. Do you know what that is? Like silly putty, the old stuff you play with and it gets all over everywhere. And I'm thinking, there has to be a solution to all this. Well, I don't think it's that, but boy, it boasted it's a solution. And I'm standing there at the Hobby Lobby counter looking at this all in one. And I think to myself, wouldn't it be nice if there was one answer, one solution to every one of life's problems? I mean, it would cover everything. And I began to think about that. And at the time, I was preaching out in the deserts of Arizona. And so I was driving back to where our rig was. And as I'm driving back, the Lord, and please don't misunderstand me, the Lord doesn't speak audibly. Well, you know what it's like. You sit in a service and conviction, the Lord speak to you. And Lord began to work in my heart that there is a solution to every problem. The solution is peace. I mean, isn't that what everybody wants? We want peace in the Middle East. We want peace in Washington. We want peace in our homes. We want peace in our workplace. So I began to study the Word of God and looking at what the Lord says about peace, because our idea of peace isn't the same as the Lord's idea of peace. The Lord's peace is far better than anything we can sign on a treaty. And I began to look at this word peace in the Bible. And to my amazement, there are two different kinds of peace in the Bible. I don't know, maybe it was me. Maybe I've heard it preached on. Maybe I've read it. But boy, I sure hadn't remembered it. And I open up the Word of God, and in Philippians 4, it says this: "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I thought, man, that is great. The peace of God. And it promises to keep your hearts and minds. But the more I began to pray about it and search the Word of God, I realized that you cannot have Philippians 4 peace of God until you have Romans 5 peace with God. They're drastically different. You know, everyone's searching for peace, but you can't have peace until you have peace with God. And you open up Romans 5, as I'm going to invite you to do. And in Romans 5, you find that there is something called peace with God. The peace with God is offered freely to every person, every color, every language, every economic branch, everything. Anyone can have peace with God. By the way, that'll make a whole lot of people mad. I've preached in churches, particularly in the South, where I walk in, and you see me this morning, I'm white as white can be, and I'll come in to preach, and here's the door open, and someone of a different color comes in, and I see a deacon walk up to him and say, "Excuse me, there's a church for you down the road." Shame. Shame. Jesus didn't do that. Why should we? Or, in other places, it's not about your skin color, it's how they're dressed. "Oh, you can't come into church like that." "Oh, that's just a kid. They rode the bus." "Yeah, well, let's put something on them." And, wait. Why are we trying to touch the outside before God's touched the inside? There's a problem. You open up the Word of God in Romans 5, and he talks about the peace with God. Peace that is offered to anyone that will accept it. He says in Romans chapter 5, notice what he says. And let's go to chapter 4, verse number 24. "But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification," chapter 5, verse number 1, "therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How do you get the peace of God? By first having peace with God. How do you have peace with God? Understand that it is only through Him that you have peace. In other words, understanding you're a sinner bound for hell. I still deserve hell, Christian. You understand that? I walk into so many churches and we have so many, good Christians.
Oh, I've been serving God for all these years. We need to pray for the other people.
What? We're not good. You do realize that the verse in the Bible that says there's none good, no, not one, that still applies? You see, when I understood I was a sinner headed to hell because I was born a sinner, and I understood that Jesus is the only way to heaven. By the way, He's still the only way, the only truth, and He is the life for heaven. And when I understood that Jesus is the only way, I didn't have to do anything because He already finished it on the cross. He finished it. It's done. All I had to do was put my faith in that. I just believed what Jesus said. You're a sinner bound for hell. I died for you. Only I can forgive you and make you righteous in the sight of God. You see, that's what He'll say in this verse. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 5, therefore being justified. By the way, this does not just mean, as I have heard it said for so many years, just as if I had never sinned. Friend, that's good, but that's not Bible. Justified is just as if I was never a sinner. In other words, God loved me so much He gave His Son Jesus, and Jesus' blood covers me. It doesn't mean my nature changes. It doesn't mean now I'm something good. It means that when God the Father looks down at my sinful state, all He sees is the blood of Jesus over top of me. Not because now I'm something good, but because I trusted in just Jesus. And He says, just as if you're never a sinner. Friend, if that doesn't bless your blesser this morning, your blesser's broken. You realize, friend, I still deserve hell.
I've been a Christian for X number of years.
So what? You still deserve hell. But look at all the good I've done for Jesus. You still deserve hell. I'm still a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. But now I have been at peace with God through Jesus. In other words, when I stand before the judge, He is not my judge. He's my King. He looks at me and calls me righteous because of the blood of Jesus. I'm at peace with God. By the way, it is not a license to live any way that I want. However, nothing can pluck me out of the Father's hand. It's a done deal. If Jesus finished it at the cross, and if Jesus dying one time in the book of Hebrews was enough for a holy God, then me trusting in just Jesus one time is enough for a holy God too. It's not every other day with Jesus. It's not live right and hopefully, no. It's not, oh, messed up, got to do it again. No, one time was enough for a holy God. So I'm at peace with God. Not because of what I did or what I do, but because of who I trusted Him. If you, my friend, have trusted Jesus as your only way to heaven, then God will not be your judge. He will be your King. Friend, are you at peace with God? If you've not trusted in Jesus, I say this in no way to be mean, but Jesus preached on it. If you have not trusted in just Jesus for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven, then one day when you stand before God, He will be your judge. And He must, according to the Word of God, look at you and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And then man is cast into hell, and hell into the lake of fire, and it will be forever. By the way, Jesus loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin or guilt you have held on to, Jesus still loves you. The greatest truth in all the world is that Jesus loves. And the greatest decision in all the world is my trust in just Jesus. So may I ask you this morning, if you were to die today or 5 years from now, no matter how you die, when you stand before God, will He be your king or your judge? Will the wrath of the judge come down on you and you pay for your sin in a real place called hell because you've never trusted in Jesus? Or when Jesus looks at you, does He see the blood of Jesus? Does He see you've been forgiven? Does He see that you are at peace with the judge? Friend, if you don't have the peace with God, you can. What a most amazing privilege, opportunity, gift. I mean, think about it. The God who spoke the world into existence offers you eternal life. I have been overwhelmed with this from my personal time recently in the Word of God. My eternal life does not start when I die. It started when I trusted Jesus. That'll change your perspective on life. That'll change your perspective on eternity. I don't get eternal life. I have eternal life. Not because of me, but because of what Jesus finished on the cross. It's done! Well, maybe we have some people here that know they're on their way to heaven, but are still trying to do it. Just trust Jesus. He is enough. Salvation, a word we use simply meaning rescued, delivered, is not a thing. He's a person. His name is Jesus. And friend, you can have eternal life today. You can know you're going to heaven. You don't have to leave this morning the same way you came in, bound for hell. It's not a religion, it's not a church, it's not a denomination that gives you eternal life. It's just Jesus. That'll change your life. But friends, if you have peace with God, then you're offered freely, Philippians 4, the peace with God. You see, so many people are looking for peace in their life when they don't have peace for afterlife. They're looking for their lives to be made better. They're looking to turn over a new leaf. They're looking for a new lifestyle. We don't need a new lifestyle. We need new life. And that's only offered through Jesus. So when I am at peace with the judge from Romans 5, when I've been justified by my trusting in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, His deliverance, His payment, then I'm offered freely, Philippians 4. Which says in Philippians 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. You see, when we hear about peace, we often say, boy, I'd like some financial peace, some family peace, some work peace, some co-worker peace, some neighbor peace, some world peace. We love peace! To have peace, you have to start by rejoicing. Most of us would look at our lack of peace and we would say, how do you rejoice in, you name it? How do you rejoice in your problems? How do you rejoice when you're broke? How do you rejoice when you don't know how you're going to make the next payment? How do you rejoice when you bury a loved one? How do you rejoice when the pastor passes away and you don't know what to do with the church? We were just in a church like that. How do you rejoice when you don't know where to turn or the next step? Well, how do you rejoice when your spouse is diagnosed with cancer? How do you rejoice? God never said rejoice in any of that. The verse says rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say rejoice at your problem. He doesn't say rejoice that you're sorrowful. He says rejoice in the Lord. In other words, take your eyes off of the problem and put them on the provision. His name's Jesus. You see, the same way that I trusted Jesus for heaven is how I lived the Christian life. By trusting Jesus. Doesn't he say, without me ye can do nothing? Doesn't he say in John 15, abide? And doesn't he say in John 15, if we abide, he says, your joy will be full. When was the last time you walked in the church and everybody was joyful? You know what I'm talking about. I'm a preacher. So I do it because I'm supposed to. They told us in Bible college all those years ago, you need to do this. You walk in the church. You smile big. You go up to people and shake their hand. How you doing? I hate doing that. You say, why? Two reasons. Either they're going to lie to you. Oh, preacher, if I was any better, I'd be twins. What does that mean?
Preacher,
you hear this in the South. I'm fine as a fur on a frog's head split three ways. What? Either they'll lie to you or they'll tell you the truth. My gizzard hurts. Where is that? My dog's sick. My cat got ran over. Well, I don't know that's a bad thing. I have a backache, toothache, bellyache. My wife's sick, can't fix supper. I have a family member who's been diagnosed with cancer. We just buried a child. Everybody wants peace. You can only find peace when you begin by rejoicing in the one that never changes. He says, rejoice in the Lord. He says, I change not. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. By the way, that's the problem with contemporary Christianity. Contemporary has to change to meet the times. And if our Christianity has to change, that means our Christ has to change. But He doesn't. The old paths are still current because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't need a new denomination. By the way, denomination never helped anybody. I don't need a new religion. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Whether you're happy or sad, rejoice. That means,
oh, everybody put a smile on your face.
No, no, no. That means, yeah, I'm going through it. But my Jesus is going through it with me. Isn't that what David said in Psalm 23? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And where's God? Right with Him. And you open this passage and the writer begins and he says, rejoice! Oh, and by the way, if you didn't get it the first time, rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He goes on and he says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto
everybody else.
You know, our prayer meetings all across America have turned into more gossip times, and let me tell you about times, than we need the Lord. You know, you can talk to Him. You don't have to go to a preacher or a priest. He says in Hebrews to His people, boldly enter in. I have an office in our RV at the end of my bed. My desk is this long by this long. And I close the door. And it's just big enough for my Bible and my books, my laptop. And I'm studying. And the whole world ought to leave me alone. You know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden I hear this little feet across the trailer. And all of a sudden my office door goes, boom! My 2-year-old standing there. Hi. I used to get frustrated with it until I realized I can boldly enter into my Father's throne room anytime I have a need. And if I'm to be a picture of the Heavenly Father, my children ought to have access to me at any time. It says, rejoice, and then let your requests be made known unto Him. Right. Telling people on Facebook all my needs doesn't solve anything. But when I tell my Father can handle it. Let your requests be made known. And He says, with thanksgiving. You say, but I haven't had the answer yet. He's not saying rejoice in the answer. He's saying rejoice in the answerer. He takes care of it. Trust Him. You want peace? Recognize who you get peace from. He says in the Old Testament that He is the Prince of peace. You see, I don't need a thing called peace. I need a person who is peace. And I can have peace with God who is Jesus. And I can have it at any moment of any time. It is a peace that passeth all understanding. I used to have the idea that, well, when I have peace, nobody else is going to understand it. And that's true. But it means more than that. It means even in my turmoil, I won't be able to understand the peace I have because I don't have to handle it. He does. It's about me. In Bible surrender, you understand this, please. It's not about me giving God anything. It's about me taking my hands off what God already owns. And you open the Word of God here and He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. James says, you have not because you ask not. You want to know why many times we don't have answers to our prayers, to our problems, to our petitions? Because we're trying to find the answer without depending on the answerer. And He writes on and He says in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. They won't understand it. I won't understand it because it's God and He is far beyond our understanding. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55. And He says here, it goes beyond anything we could ask or think. Why? Because He keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever met someone that's hurting? I mean, hurting. Especially someone who's lost a child. Someone who has a child that has passed on, or maybe their child has strayed. Or maybe they've been left. Or maybe they just don't know what to do next. And you'll hear them say like something like this. Know what to do. My heart is breaking. I have heard so many Christians come in and say, oh, let me help you. Talk to me about it. Friends, no person, no book, no like is going to be able to heal a broken heart. But there is one who can heal hearts. The most severe of broken hearts can be healed by the Master. Simply because He made your heart. It goes on to say, and keep your minds. How many times do we lay in bed at night and our minds just going 100 miles a minute? And we're so worried and bothered and we don't know how we're going to get through this or that or whatever else. Maybe it's time we gave our minds to the Lord too. He says in the book of Romans, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Unfortunately, we often have the idea that we need, instead of conforming to the world, we need to conform to Christ. That's not what Romans 12:2 says. It says transformed. And neither, in other words, completely anew. Let God do the work here because we have let God do a work here. If you want the peace of God, you must have peace with God. And once you have peace with God, peace of God's freely offered the same way through Jesus Christ. I'm not speaking to anyone here this morning that has not been through some type of turmoil. We have all hurt or are hurting or will hurt. We have all had problems and we wonder, what now? How can I get through this? You can't. But Jesus can. And He wants to carry you. I was preaching at a church in Troy, Ohio several years ago. We had a real big teen crusade. We had hundreds of teens come. We saw many trust Christ. We played big ball, whatever, basketball, volleyball. See some junior higher go up to hit a 6-foot big ball and he gets driven into the ground like a human golf tee. You know, all these things. We'd feed them pizza. We'd preach the Word of God to them. The pastor decided, I'm not canceling church Wednesday night just for a teen crusade. So he had all the teens come in, have normal service like we had Monday and Tuesday. And then all his people, they just added more chairs and they sat behind all the teens. So I'm preaching a teen crusade and there are church people in the back, places packed. We preached, we saw several saved. The kids are grabbing their pizza, they're getting ready to jump on the bus and go home. And this young couple came up to where I was staying in the front. I was talking to some teenagers. They waited till the teens had left. And then this young lady came up to me and she said, Brother Glenn, could I talk to you? I said, sure. Her and her husband stood there and then she asked me this question. She said, do you remember me? No. But how do you say that kindly? I mean, we meet people every week and at sometimes, many times I can remember faces, and if I wrote it down in my phone, I'll remember your name once I cheat. And I say, well, can you remind me? She said, sure, you went to school with my brother. That helps. I went to school with a lot of people's brother. I said, what's your maiden name? She told me, I said, oh, I know who you are, because I know who your brother is. I haven't seen him for years, but he was my roommate. You know, if you spend any time in secular or Christian college, you know roommates are, well, it prepares you for marriage, I guess. Well, this nut, he would iron his clothes the night before, and then he'd put them on, including his tie. And then he'd crawl into the top bunk, and he would sleep like this all night long. His alarm would go off 10 minutes before class started. He'd jump out of bed, pull on his boots, swig some mouthwash, go down to school, slip into class on the bell. Don't you hate people like that? I said, yes, I know who you are now. Then she said this. She said, Brother Glenn, have you ever seen a perfect baby? Preachers and babies, I don't know what the deal is. Here's it. If I say yes, then she's going to want me to compare my yes to her perfect baby. Can't get out of that. If I say no, then she's going to say, would you go pick my baby up from the nursery? His name is, and I thought, there's no way out of this. I figured I'd go with the best answer. Have you ever seen a perfect baby? No. She said it. May I show you one? Now I'm really stuck. I was trying not to offend, so I said, sure. She reaches over and she opens up her pocketbook. She pulls out her phone. She does some swiping and she hands me her phone. I'm looking at a picture now. And the picture is of her and her sweet husband sitting in a hospital room. I've been in enough hospital rooms and enough of these situations to know exactly what I was looking at. Lady is sitting there on the hospital bed and she's holding a newborn. Little hat, all wrapped up in a blanket. You could see the face. The face was blue. I knew the baby had gone into eternity. She looked at me and she said, "This is a perfect baby." I said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "I have talked to hundreds of ladies and young couples all around the country that have dealt with something similar. How can you say that this baby is perfect?" She said, "Oh, Brother Glenn, that's easy. Because when my baby was born, the baby was already with Jesus. And I figured if Jesus is perfect and if heaven is perfect, then my baby's perfect too." And I looked at her and I said, "If you'd forgive me, I'd like to ask you one question. Of the hundreds of ladies and couples I've talked to that have gone through something similar, there is something about you that is different. You are at peace." I said, "What is the difference?" And without any hesitation, she looked at me and she said, "Oh, Brother Glenn, that's easy. One word. His name is Jesus." And I thought to myself, if one young lady can take what is very possibly one of the greatest trials in any couple's life, and if she can find the peace of God, then what right have I to look at my problems and not bring them to my Father? He offers me all the peace I could possibly need because He is peace. This morning, I do not know what you're going through. I do not know what you've been through. But I do know everyone needs peace. Maybe this morning, if you were to die, you don't know for sure where you'd spend forever because you've never trusted in Jesus. You need peace with God. But this morning, if you have peace with God, my friend, you need the peace of God. Both are free. And both come through one person named Jesus. What will you do for peace?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.